Now, on Monday last week, Bahrain's highest court upheld jail terms for 20 opposition figures, including 8 sentenced to life for alleged plots to overthrow the monarchy. Now, in spite of the fact that this decision will most probably touch off more protests and bring renewed international criticism, even from the monarchy's closest Western allies, Bahraini authorities decided to go ahead with this, shattering hopes that the government, through the courts, would have softened its stance to encourage meaningful dialogue with the opposition. Welcome back. It's great to have you back with us now to further explore the most recent developments in Bahrain. We actually hope to have two top guests joining us shortly. One of them, actually a top Bahraini activist, join us already over the phone. And we hope that shortly in our London studio, we'll have also Mr. Abbas Al-Omran with us. But first, over the phone from London, we're delighted to be joined by an eminent Bahrain activist, Dr. Saeed Shahabi. Welcome to Central Stage.
It's a pleasure to be with you, sir, and your audience.
The pleasure is all ours. Now, Dr. Shahabi is an eminent Bahrain activist who leads Bahrain Freedom Movement based in London. Dr. Shahabi is also a columnist with the London-based Arab newspaper Al-Quds Al-Arabi. Time for a short break, but after the break, we'll be discussing Bahrain and its latest developments, particularly Bahrain's highest court's decision to uphold sentences on opposition.
On Monday last week, Bahrain's highest court upheld prison terms for 13 pro-democracy activists, including 8 sentenced to life for their role in anti-regime protests in 2011. The decision has already drawn widespread criticism and mounting anger from international rights organizations and will most probably touch off more protests in the Persian Gulf nation and bring renewed criticism even from Bahrain's Western ally. The group includes rights activist Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja, who staged a 110-day hunger strike last year to protest the verdicts, which critics have denounced as part of attempts to crush an Arab Spring-inspired uprising that began nearly 2 years ago in the strategic kingdom of the Persian Gulf. In the United Kingdom, there are approximately 4 individuals who were handed sentences in absentia. Among them, noted opposition figure and our guest at Center Stage, Dr. Saeed Shahabi, who was handed a life sentence in absentia. In the meantime, Iranian lawmaker Fatullah Husseini said on Saturday that the verdicts handed down for Bahraini activists are totally unfair, noting that Al-Khalifa regime of Bahrain should introduce judicial and political reforms. He added, "Only a small number of people protesting against the inhuman behavior of the Al-Khalifa have been tried, and those who have been arrested in defiance of the rights of prisoners are in dire conditions." The lawmaker noted that to improve the prisoner's situation, the Bahraini regime should finally give in to political and judicial reforms. Husseini also stated that the Bahrain revolution is the most neglected revolution in the Arab world, because it's been completely censored by Arab states and media. In spite of the harsh crackdown, Bahrainis say they will continue to hold anti-regime demonstrations until their demands for the establishment of a democratically elected government and an end to rights violations are eventually met. However, as we approach the second anniversary of the popular uprising in Bahrain a month from now in mid-February, it's utterly regrettable that the observers hope that the government, through the courts, would have softened its stance to encourage meaningful dialogue with the opposition are now shattered.
Hello again. It's great to have you back with us. Now, I'm just told that now we have the pleasure of being joined by Mr. Abbas Al-Omran in our London studio. Mr. Al-Omran, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Me also.
Let me just tell you again that Mr. Abbas Al-Omran is an eminent Bahraini activist based in London. Now, let's first go to Dr. Shahabi. We know that Bahrain's highest court upheld jail terms for 20 opposition figures, including 8 sentenced to life for alleged plots to overthrow the state. Dr. Shahabi, you were one of them actually sentenced in absentia, weren't you?
Thank you very much. Me and Mr. Al-Omran and some other friends are included in that list. Mm-hmm. And we have been, or we were 2 years ago, we were sentenced to various terms of imprisonment. I am imprisoned for life, and others for terms between 5 and 15 years in jail. Of course, these are trumpeted charges that cannot stand at a court of law, and they have been handed over just to provide some justification for the harsh crackdown by the Al-Khalifa dictatorship against our people, and of course also to justify the invasion of Bahrain and the occupation by the Saudi forces. Bahrain is under occupation and also under dictatorship.
Right.
And the people have been calling for an end to the dictatorship and also for an end to the occupation by the Saudi troops.
But what did you actually do to deserve this? I mean, life imprisonment is a very harsh sentence, isn't it?
I think anybody who calls for something that the Al-Khalifa do not approve of are guilty of crime. They
right.
are criminals. Most Bahrainis are considered to be criminals by the regime because it cannot tolerate people calling for their rights. They should accept what the hereditary dictatorship gives them. So you can only have what the dictator gives you. You cannot have more. You should not ask for more. And you will not be given any more. And if you insist, then you will be considered as a criminal and you will be sentenced to any harsh sentence they think of.
Great. Thanks very much indeed. Now, Mr. Al-Omran, I understand that you too were also sentenced.
Yes, I have been sentenced for 15 years.
15
well.
Years. So that's also, 15 years is really such a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, just to do that, I participate in such of TV programs. They sentenced me for 15 years.
Right.
The sentence actually for the 20 activists is distributed between 5 years and 15 years, and 8 of them is for life imprisonment.
So basically, if we're just talking about the situation in Bahrain, I understand that's the main reason both of you were sentenced.
Yeah, the Bahraini regime, usually when there is a movement calling for the Bahraini rights,
right.
they usually try to link this group to be as a terrorist group linked to the outside, and all of such these charges to be linked to the activists. While in the actual ground, that's the people looking for them rights, for them freedoms.
Great. But, the point is, Dr. Shahabi, that this will most probably touch off more protests in the Persian Gulf nation. It will most probably bring renewed criticism even from Bahrain's Western allies, the closest Western allies. So why is Bahraini authority doing this, do you think?
Imam Ali said it is the weak person who exercises oppression, who is an oppressor. Usually the strong person does not exercise, does not become oppressor. Usually it is the weak one. So because they are weak, because they lack legitimacy, because they do not command the loyalty or love of the people, they become so vicious against people that they order their troops to shoot at people, to kill them, to
right.
torture them in jail, to sack them from their jobs, to burn their mosques, to destroy their worship places, and to ransack their homes. These are signs of a weak dictatorial rule. If they were strong, they would accept criticism, they would accept reform, and they would accept to be living under the rule of law. And so if you ask for any of these rights, then you are considered by them to be outside their law. So they always talk about law, but it is their laws. The law that convicts people who exercise their freedom to expression, the people who demonstrate peacefully in the street, people who congregate, people who go and mourn their religious imam, these are all criminals in their eyes. This is why they are trying to bring another people from outside through what is called the political naturalization, while natives like myself, like Abbas, like thousands others, at least 1,800 of our youth are behind the bars. Why? And at the same time, we see them welcoming the Saudis, welcoming the British experts, welcoming the American Navy, welcoming the Zionist intelligence services. So this regime is outdated, and I believe it is doomed.
Right, but you know, the point is, Dr. Shahabi, that even, you know, Bahrain's Western allies are criticizing Bahrain for upholding the sentences.
I don't think any person can tolerate what the Al Khalifa are doing. Both America and United Kingdom had supported the regime, not only politically or in the media, but also materially with security help, with military presence in the country. However, the oppression of the regime and the excesses of its security forces and its use of judiciary as a weapon against the people has enraged even those who are usually supporting him in London and in America. Right. And we saw even the Americans who the Bahrainis accused of supporting the regime, this time when they confirmed the sentences against the leaders of the revolution, reacted angrily because this is uncivilized. Because the Bethune report recommendations, the Human Rights Council recommendations, the European Union recommendations, Amnesty International and the Human Rights Watch recommendations, all call for the release of those people because they are prisoners of conscience, imprisoned solely for expressing their views openly and peacefully. And they should not be in jail.
Thank you very much.
They cannot say no, that if they are out of jail, then they may lead the revolution against them and the regime may collapse.
Okay, great. Thank you very much indeed. Now it's time for a short break, but after the break, we'll be talking a bit more about the this latest development in Bahrain and also the criticism which is being staged against the government of Bahrain. So please do stay with us. Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now, in the absence of the Bahraini government bowing to international pressure and setting aside the sentences, a royal pardon might be the last chance for activists like you, Mr. Al-Umran. How likely is actually the prospect of asking for a royal pardon on your part? And are you planning to go ahead with this?
I don't believe about any pardon coming from what they so-called King Hamad. He's a criminal and nobody accept any pardon from him. What I believe that these leaders will come out from the jail when the revolution in Bahrain will win by end of the day, and all of them will come outside and such of this pardon will be it will be useless, and nobody will accept it. And actually, there will be no chance for the dictatorship in Bahrain will issue such of this pardon. As I said, the revolution by end of the day, it will win, and all the prisoners will go outside.
Great. Now, Bahrain's major political group, Al-Wefaq, says that the courts are used as a tool to punish the opposition and suggests that authorities are not serious about offers for a political dialogue to ease the tension. Dr. Shahabi, are they really?
Well, number one, the regime does not believe in dialogue simply because they do not believe that the people of Bahrain are equal to them. They are superior. They have inferiority complex. They always feel and deal with the people from the perspective of class differences. So they are they belong to an upper class, while the people, the ordinary people, are much lower in their social status. This is number one. Number two, they know that if they engage in dialogue, then they will have to give concessions. This is what the world is waiting for, that there should be political solution. And the political solution is not as the Saudis asked Iran to do a few months ago when they told the Iranians, ask the Bahrainis to go back to their homes. The Bahrainis are not going back to their homes. They are going to remain in the streets until they get a democratic, contemporary, modern political system. They cannot be taken back to the to their homes just to live under the total domination of a tribe that rules the country by a sword. Number three, the revolutionaries, the people in the street, they haven't stopped even for one day since they went in on their revolution on the 14th of February 2011. And we will approach that date soon, and there will be 2 years of continuous, uninterrupted political protestation and demonstration non-stop, even for a single day for the past 2 years. And these people have lost their loved ones. They have martyrs. They have many who have been tortured, many who have been sacked, many whose homes have been ransacked, many whose wives and whose sisters and whose mothers have been attacked and abused by this dictatorship. So I don't think that at the end of the day the people are looking for a shortcut just to go back and stay in their homes. They want a serious political fundamental change in the regime. Without that, the situation is not going to calm down. And no matter what sort of what sentences they pass, what killing they commit, what oppression and aggression they undertake, the Bahrainis are not going to be taken back to their homes and silenced.
Right.
They will continue until their demands are met.
Great. Thank you very much indeed. Now, we've had people dying in revolutions from Egypt to Yemen to Bahrain and other places. But Mr. Al-Omran, when it comes to Bahrain, we only see lip service being paid to democracy in Bahrain. We don't see much reaction, to be honest, on an international system level.
As you know, the international community is headed by the US and the UK. And these countries, usually, they said they are supporting the democracy and they are supporting the freedom in all over the world. While when it's come to Bahrain, the hypocrisy, it will be very clear. Actually, they consider the Bahrain them allied, and they don't like the Bahraini Al Khalifa regime to be changed and the people to be ruled and get them rights. They think them interest will be reserved by within this regime, which is actually wrong. They say usually they don't like to stand in the wrong side of the. They don't like to stand on the wrong side.
Right.
While what they do when they think about them interest, they do something totally opposite. That is one. The other things.
Right.
Bahrain is occupied by the Saudi troops, And as you know, that the Saudi used them petrodollars, and they tried to yield all the serious situation that's be taken against Bahrain.
Right.
As you know, there is a program in the CNN should be presented at that channel. That program stopped. The reason that the Saudi money it was there and stopped that program. And actually, the Saudi money and the Saudi forces try to stop any such of criticizing against the Bahraini regime.
Right, great. Now, Dr. Shahabi, let's be honest. We've had a number of other revolutions which proved to be successful. We had the situation in Egypt, in Libya. But when it comes to Bahrain, it's almost 2 years since the actually uprising or the so-called revolution actually began. But so far, we haven't seen anything, I would say tangible.
Look, my friend, the revolution, the Arab Spring started, and it started quickly, and both the dictators of Tunisia and of Egypt fell. But
right.
The counter-revolutionary forces reacted harshly, and they organized themselves, and they came back to haunt the revolutions. And this is why now they are making a lot of trouble for the elected government in Tunisia and also in Egypt. They do not want democratic regimes in those countries. Yes, they have won, but then these counter-revolutionary forces led by the United States, Britain, Saudi Arabia, and Israel, they are working day and night to foil those revolutions, to ensure that they do not work. This is what they did in Yemen. And look at Libya, a lot of problems, and they are trying to use sectarianism as a weapon in all these countries. Mosques are being destroyed in all these countries, in Bahrain, in Egypt, in Libya, and in Tunisia a few days ago. Because this is a very destructive weapon, sectarianism, when you use it to split the people in any country. Now, as for Bahrain, they use that sectarianism, but they also have supplied the regime with all modern methodology of dealing and the cracking against opposition. They have sent their security men, British security men are on the ground. Scotland Yard officers are there dealing with our people.
Right.
And then you have also the Fifth Fleet, the American Fifth Fleet. We have the Saudi Army. So you are not talking about people just demonstrating in the streets and being faced by nobody. They are being challenged and attacked and plotted against every day by those forces.
Right.
This is, as my colleague Abbas Al-Umran just said, the petrodollar is being exploited to kill people. Is being used not to develop our region, but to turn it into
Excellent.
Fortresses, into arsenal, into places where the dictatorship is supported by the American, the British, the Western arms. But the people get nothing out of this petrodollars. So Bahraini revolution will succeed. It may take some time, but at the end of the day, dictatorship cannot be allowed to rule the day. It is impossible for modern day and age to be ruled by a man who inherits the government from his father. And if he dies, his son will come and take over.
Right.
Two-thirds of the cabinet is from the ruling family. The prime minister has been in his office for 42 years. So the people are being changed with another people being imported from outside.
Right.
So we are not talking about a situation which is tolerated at all.
Great. Mr. Al-Umran, Dr. Shahabi was there talking about the problem of sectarianism. And we know that one of those activists who have been sentenced to harsh sentences was actually a Sunni activist.
Yeah, his name is Ibrahim Sharif. among of these 20 figures have been sentenced and have been confirmed them sentences. No one of is known as Ibrahim Sharif. He is the leader of the Waad society. Have been sent. He had been sentenced for 5 years. Actually, there is another people who belong to the Sunni sectors. One of his name is as I remember, who is the first prisoner in the Bahraini revolution, and he is came also from Sunni sectors. Actually, the movement in Bahrain it is mixed between all of the Bahraini peoples, and some of them is Shia, majority is some of them is Sunni, and majority is Sunni. The Bahraini regime tried to make a segregation and tried to code the Bahraini revolution to be as a sectarian revolution.
Right.
He failed actually in such of this attempt, as well as he failed try to say that this revolution is belong to the outside, or this revolution is using the violence action again in the way to call him for demands. Nobody can believe about it when it came to see closer to on the ground. That's the people looking for them rights and for democracy, as well as the Arab uprising in the other countries.
Great, thank you very much indeed. Now let's take a short break. After the break, we'll be back with more. So please do stay with Center Stage. Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now, protesters in Bahrain have demanded far-reaching changes. These include ending the monarchy's ability to select the government, as Dr. Shabi was just mentioning, and said all important state policies, and of course, release of political prisoners. Now, Dr. Shabi, looking back on almost 2 years of demands and protests, how serious and responsive has the Bahraini government actually been to such demands, do you think?
The regime in Bahrain is really sinking in the mud because it doesn't want to listen. It has not listened before. It had missed many chances of reconciliation and political settlement. In 2001, the dictator had the greatest chance to bring Bahrain into civilization and into peaceful settlement. But he failed. He just abrogated the only legitimate document that gave his family some authority, the 1973 constitution. He abrogated that and changed it with his own version of a constitution. Then throughout the past 10 years, we had met with him twice and negotiated some settlement. But he was not in a mood to settle. He gave a lot of promises to people, but the people were dismayed because he never fulfilled his promises. And the people today, they are different from the people of 20 years ago when we had the uprising in the 90s, because today they do not believe in this regime. They have lost completely any faith in the rule of tribalism and sectarianism. The people today, they do not want to be conned again, to be lied on again, and they do not want to be hypnotized by hollow promises as has happened in the past. They want real, serious, fundamental change where at least five sectors be nationalized, become
right.
In the hands of the people. The police,
right.
The army, the security services, the media, and judiciary. Unless these five sectors are taken out of the hand of the ruling family, no settlement will be reached.
But
and
Dr. Shabi,
I can assure you and tell you that
right.
The people are not in a hurry for
okay.
a settlement.
But
they
Dr. Shabi, we know that the
Bahraini
Justice Minister has actually said that they are listening to some of these protests and to the opposition. And they are making some concessions.
In 2 years, what have they listened to? What? They listened to them and they put them in jail. They didn't listen to them and listen to their demands and talk to them. When Al-Wafaq agreed to go last year to dialogue with them, they found themselves talking to the servants of the dictators. They didn't. Al-Khalifa will never sit with Bahrainis. Neither Shias nor Sunnis. They will never sit on the same table as ordinary Bahrainis, whether they are Shias or Sunnis. They do not believe in the Bahrainis. They believe in themselves, and they think that they can change the native Bahrainis, whether Shias or Sunnis, with different people, with new people.
Right.
So I don't think there is going to be any dialogue of any seriousness.
So what about the independent committee, which was formed to look into the, you know, human rights violations in Bahrain?
The commission was appointed last year. It came out with recommendations. Most of the serious and important recommendations have remained on the shelves. And this is what the Americans have said, this is what the British have said, this is what the commissioners, the members of that commission themselves, Nigel Rodley and also Sherif Bassiouni, both of them have said that we have called for the release of the leaders when we said that their sentences must be reviewed. We meant that they should be released. This is what they said on the first anniversary on the 23rd of November last year. So they had a commission, but so what? They had a commission. There are recommendations, but they have not been put into action. What is the use of these recommendations?
Excellent. Now, since the start of the uprising, the Bahraini authorities have extended lots of pressure on Shiite Muslims. Now, Mr. Al-Omran, whatever the reasons behind the restlessness of Bahraini's Shiites, it's a fact that Shiites make up roughly 70% of Bahraini's citizens. So this is not a minor issue and has to be solved. Now, what solutions do you propose to end this sorry state of affairs?
I think the solution for Bahrain is very simple from my point of view. The three things as the regime, they have to stop repression and release all the prisoners. Second thing, that the Saudi troops, the invaders came to the Bahrain, should be kicked out of Bahraini land. They are foreigners and they came to the Bahrain to demolish the Pearl roundabout. The people were demonstrate there for about a month when the revolution started. The other things, they killed the children and they destroyed the mosque. And most of the crimes happened actually when the Saudi troops came. That troop should be kicked out, and the problem, it's internal problem. The other things, anybody involved in the crimes, as the sons of the Bahraini ruler Hamad bin Khalifa, should be taken to the justice, and certain prisoners have been tortured on Nasser, son of Hamad, hand, and some of them have been kicked and tortured at the checkpoint. Actually, we can't make any transition from a dictatorship era to a democratic era unless we have to pass through such of these steps. And the last things, I think, should the people should be give them right for self-determination, as the political convention, international political convention, ensure that one in its first article, every nation has the right for self-determination. Actually, the Bahraini problem, it's exactly the same if you look for the Tunisian and Egypt and Libyan. The problem there is solved after the existing dictatorship regime had been thrown away, and the people came and ruled by themselves. They put for them constitution.
Right.
They go for making an election. All of these things. The same thing. It will be succeed also for Bahrain. Any reform for the existing existing regime, definitely it will end up with the same catastrophe that we faced before 10 years when this regime have been given a chance in 2001 and to make a dialogue and reform with the people. they actually bring another constitution which is not mutually agreed between the people. So this regime, the dictatorship regime, never ever have been, we heard that, have been lived with between what we have for themselves and the new situation for the people that they are looking. That's what I am thinking.
Great.
The way how to make a transition for the new democratic situation.
Thank you very much indeed. Dr. Shabi, we have only about 1.5 minutes left, and I'd like to put two very quick questions to you. The first one is that, okay, when we talk about the GCC, Bahraini authorities are saying that this is a part of the arrangement. It's not, Saudis are not invaders. What's your response to that?
That's rubbish, because according to the GCC agreements, the troops from other countries can enter a country only to defend it against outside aggression. And the Pezzuni report and commission have confirmed that there was no sign of Iranian involvement. So there was no external threat to Bahrain, and there was no need for these troops to come in. They came in to repress the people, and that is against the charter of the GCC.
Great. And how do you see Bahrain 5 years from now, Dr. Shabi? In 1 minute.
I can see that Bahrain will be free. I can see the Saudis defeated in Bahrain and inside the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, because the people have woken up in the Arab world, and I don't think there is a way going back to the dark days of dictatorship and family regimes. I see Bahrain free, and I see the people of Bahrain enjoying sovereignty over their own lands and determining their own future.
Great. Thank you very much indeed for that. Sorry to end it there, but we're out of time. But before I go, I'd like to thank again my top guests. We had Dr. Saeed Shahabi, head of Bahrain Freedom Movement in London, joining us over the phone. And of course, we had Mr. Abbas Al-Omran, a well-established opposition figure from the Bahrain Center for Human Rights in our London studio. Thanks very much indeed for coming on, for talking to us, and of course, for those insights. Now, we very much hope that the situation in Bahrain will calm down and the oppressed people in Bahrain will see days of democracy, and hopefully they'll be able to decide, make their own decisions. We very much hope so. And Dr. Shabi was just mentioning that there are some obstacles to democracy. We very much hope that these obstacles will also be removed very shortly. And we also hope that the also the authorities start to listen. Now, until next week, from me, our guests today, and the rest of the team, as we talk about another issue on Central Stage, it's goodbye for now. Thanks very much indeed for watching.